This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Rate a Game. Good morning, Frida Liu here. And we've got someone from Leadonomics here. And it's Joseph Tan joining us again. Good to have you back in the studio with us, Joseph.
Good morning.
And then, of course, we're going to be talking about five ordinary reasons why values fail. Very nice. You know, it's supposed to be Motivational Monday. I love how you start the day, the show on such a positive note.
So talking about failure.
No, so anyway, there's so much talk nowadays about having the right set of core values, you know. Companies should embrace this, right? Now, but why is this so? And shouldn't business just be focusing on the objective of their core existence, which is make money?
Yeah, actually, Frida, you're right. The very reason why businesses exist is to make profits, is to make money. But the question is this, do they want to continue to exist? It is a question of short-term versus long-term. If you are an organization that wants to be there for the long run, you want to leave a legacy, you're not just milking the profits for what it's worth, then you need to look beyond just the numbers. You need to look at not just profits, but profits and purpose, not just results, but results and reputation, not just what you sell, but what you stand for. So that's why having a set of core values to guide your organization, it's important if you want to exist beyond just the present.
Right. I know this is the right thing. We talk about it, but I can imagine CEOs working for an organization reporting to a board of directors who then say we probably need to go through a year, maybe 2 years of not being profitable because there's some things that we need to do before we get to that stage, right? I'm just thinking, you know, what a place to be in, right? You know, they say, Joseph, yeah, I know. You're not sitting in my chair.
Yeah, I think then this is where we need to examine the purpose why our organization exists. Of course, if it's just for profits alone, then you need to do it quick and you need to do it quickly. But if you want to produce an organization which is sustainable, an organization which has a soul, S-O-U-L, an organization that wants to attract talented employees, talented employees that want to grow with the company, you will find that just playing the numbers game alone, not only does it make your organization not sustainable, you might not be able to attract the type of talent that is willing to stay long-term with the company.
Right. I mean, I've heard of people who were offered a job somewhere and said, oh, but I've heard so much about this organization, I don't want to join this organization. You know, so I mean, you know, you don't get the kind of talent as you were saying as well.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, when organizations do define their core values, the actual demonstration and expression of it falls short. In fact, most cases, you see the opposite, the core values, right? What went wrong?
I think as in all things, organization leaders start off with a lot of good intentions, but they're not intentional enough. So I'll just highlight in our brief conversations here, five reasons why core values fail. Number one, when organizations want to get their core values together, the first thing they think of doing, Frida, it's strategic planning retreats. You know, we could have just spend that 3-day, 2-night in Bali or a resort somewhere. And we all come back excited with plenty of flip charts and slogans and the battle cry. And everyone gets excited, at least for a little while.
Okay.
They come back with what we would call the BHAG, the big, hairy, audacious goal. But they forget about the MCAP, M-C-A-P, which stands for motivating, compelling, actual problems. Meaning, there's no point for you to set the big, hairy, audacious goals if you don't know what are the compelling, actual problems that your customers and that your people are facing. Your goals are too lofty. Your goals are too distant. It is not linked to any issue that needs to be resolved. So here's the tip. Before you get excited about planning for your next strategic retreat, I mean with the year end coming.
Bali sounds appealing.
Spend time to know your troops. Right. Spend time to know what they are feeling. Spend time to know what are the issues on the ground. Spend time with your key customers. Get to know what are the actual problems they are facing. So when you know the compelling issues your customers are facing, the compelling issues your vendors are facing, the compelling problems your employees are facing, then when you set your big, hairy, audacious goals, it is grounded in something that is compelling, not something that is lofty.
Because you have these big goals, big, hairy goals, but you're not in touch with what's going on.
That's right.
So you're still, in a way, sweeping it under the carpet or putting on a new coat of paint on the first coat not even dry yet, and then, you know, so that's where the old problems will surface and creep up again.
That's right. And many times I hear people complaining, the senior management come back and say, the guys, for next year, we just need to grow 30%. Then they ask why. Well, 30 is a nice number.
Okay. Another reason why values fail.
Well, another reason why values fail is that this may sound a little bit awkward, but regular team meetings. There are just too many meetings that are going on. Too many meetings, too many spreadsheets, too many reporting that is going on around. Everybody wants to find out what everybody else is doing. Now, there's nothing wrong with regular team meetings. However, when you talk about core values, having regular meetings itself will not put the core values in place. You've got to take time to have regular conversations, meaning you need to introduce more two-way element within your meetings. When you meet up with people, it's not just one way. Here's what I'm telling you to do. So we need to couple our communication with regular conversations, asking for ideas, asking for feedback.
Okay. And so the tip here then would be to have conversations, not have meetings to communicate one way, but have that chat, real heart-to-heart chat in a way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I remember one client that I was dealing with, 24% of their salespeople were leaving the company the year before. And they say, Joseph, it is not about the numbers, but it was about the way the numbers were communicated. There was no opportunity for feedback. There was no opportunity for them to contribute to the conversation. They used the word conversation.
Right.
So no matter what you talk about core values, if there's no conversations going on, your core values is not connecting at all.
Okay. Another reason?
Well, the third reason why core values fail, it's this. When you have a group of managers who wants to be nice, okay? Really, if your goal in the organization is to be popular, then being a manager is not the right role for you.
Okay.
Because being a manager, you have two important and equal mandate. One is you need to reward those who do well. I think most of us don't have any problem doing that. But secondly, you need to reprimand those who do not. So, so if on a day-to-day basis we tolerate non-compliance and if we tolerate non-performance, then it will act against whatever core values that we have designed. So it is very important that that in the organization, managers know how to quickly respond when people perform, to recognize them, but also when people do not perform, we also take specific action. Because if we don't take specific action when there's non-performance, then we are sending out the wrong signal to those who are performing.
Right. And I know, like, sometimes we always like to leave it till it becomes a real major problem, and then it gets nasty when we have to ask the person to leave because we never addressed the issue earlier on.
That's right. So that's why I think the job of the manager is not so much to take charge, but to take care of the people under your charge.
So not don't have to be Mr. Nice Guy, but do the right thing.
Yes, yes. Yeah? And do the right thing. And sometimes It will probably be unpopular.
Uncomfortable.
But in the long term, it would also be for the good of the person that you're dealing with. It could be a person who might be in that has a wrong job fit.
Right. Or who are not aware.
Yeah, who are not aware. And sometimes that frank discussion about, hey, you know, things are not happening as planned. Maybe we could work something else. Now, those hard conversations require you to be honest, requires you to take that steps of courage rather than just sweep it under the carpet in the pretense of just being nice and hoping that time will solve everything.
Yeah. Right. Okay, we're discussing five ordinary reasons why values fail. We've done three of them. We'll talk about the rest in just a moment. Joseph Tan from Leadonomics here with us. Stay tuned to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Big Fortune Movers, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game, and we've got Joseph Tan from Leadonomics here. We're talking about the five ordinary reasons why values fail. We were going through a couple earlier on, the first one being we love these strategic planning retreats where we go to Bali and all these fancy places, but you were saying that instead of setting the big, hairy, audacious goal, let's look at the MCAP, what? Motivating,
compelling
actual problems before we set these big, hairy, audacious goals.
Yeah.
Second one is the regular team meetings. And we spend a lot of these times, I think you were saying, communicating, but not enough time having conversations,
right?
Where I guess people are given the time to be heard and to discuss the real issue and just, you know, and know that it's their job is not in trouble if they talk realistically, right?
Yeah, and to have a sense that they can contribute to the whole work process as well.
Okay. The third one was being a nice manager, where we know how to reward, but we also need to reprimand when need to. Or to just address the issue
head
on, right? Rather than sweeping it under the carpet. What's the fourth one?
Well, the fourth one, it's creating more policies. Because what happens is when an organization have got their core values all drafted out, they say, okay, right now we just need more policies, more rules and more regulations. But there is a danger to that. Because if you plan for a lot of policies, but you don't have a group of practitioners, you are just setting up for a culture of skepticism. Let me explain. One of the clients that we were dealing with, they were trying to communicate certain core values of wanting to achieve excellence in what they do. Guess what? When we broke up into focus group, we talk about how important the core value of excellence is and so on. They were saying, please don't talk to us about excellence. There is a lot of unfairness in the policies that were created. For example, certain level of employees at the group level get to have company cars. The same level of employees in the subsidiary do not have company cars. So he said there is a lot of unfairness in the policies. And because of the inconsistency in the policies and the practices are inconsistent, then whatever things you tell me about the values just fall on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Please settle the unfairness and the inconsistency in the policies. Then I will be ready to listen to your core values.
I'm just thinking of something else, but let's not go there. Okay.
Yeah.
That will be a show for another day. Okay. What's the fifth one?
Well, the fifth one is actually one of the main requests that we get whenever people call into the office asking for training programs. More than half of the time, they ask for team building programs. You know, they say, okay, you know, we want our organizations to achieve this certain set of core values. We've got 2 days for you. Can you whip up some energetic, motivating activities and whip them into shape? So, team building programs are usually one of the reasons why core values fail if it's not done in the right way. So this is the tip. Before you think about rolling out a mass team building program to try to change the whole company, put in a plan to train all the people managers first. This, Frida, is the critical middle gap. Because right at the top, they come up with a big, hairy, audacious goal. And right at the bottom are people who are supposed to carry out those big, hairy, audacious goals. Mm. Right in the middle are people that have to work to translate those goals.
Right.
That have to learn how to motivate the operational team on a day-to-day basis. So if they don't know how to motivate their employees, if they don't know how to develop them, if they don't know how to identify and work with talented people to make that happen, then you have just lost that critical middle gap. No matter how much team building you send the rest of the employees to, but if you don't have a team of great managers, right, your core values is going to fail.
Okay, so, and I guess I sort of brought it up earlier on. So what you're saying is that it's about being relational rather than just results, but also isn't there a danger of being too relational until performance is compromised? Is that...
Well, at the end of the day, we are all relational creatures. Yeah. I think an organization that has a great culture, that has a great set of realistic core values, do know how to create an atmosphere where people can relate to each other. But I think the danger is we have got to be careful that the basis for us to relate to one another must go beyond just feelings alone. Mm. Because if you just focus on feelings alone, we might end up pampering our employees and engaging them. So that's why the job of the leader, once you have your core values set, you must continually make clear what the purpose of the organization is, the vision of the organization is. Then we are relating to each other towards a common cause.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, now, for organizations that desire to design or redesign their core values, you know, year-end almost happening, right?
Yeah.
What would be your one word of advice? I'll let you have a few.
Okay. Well, my one word of advice before you set out to design your core values is this. That one word is engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Engagement. You've got to do some pre-work, you've got to do some groundwork to find out why are your employees connected to the company or why are your employees disconnected to the company. Get to know the state of engagement in your company, because if you are not aware of the state of engagement or disengagement in the company, no matter how high-sounding your big, hairy, audacious goal is, it's going to fall on deaf ears. But if you start off with knowing the state of engagement and what you plan to do to improve the engagement, what you are actually doing, you are somewhat acting like a good farmer. You are preparing the soil.
Mm-hmm.
You are tilling the soil. You are making the hearts of your employees warm, ready, and receptive. Then when you finally communicate your core values, they are ready to receive it because they are engaged. So engagement is key before the design of your core values.
Right. And the idea is to think like a farmer almost. Joseph Tan from Leadernomics sharing 5 ordinary reasons why values fail. You've been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.